again turn to Psalm 23. Then looking at verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Been looking at those green pastures. Again, it's plural, not singular. It's not just a green pasture, but green pastures. And there are many of them, and they are of great variety. The phrase speaks of God's provision for His own. And again, this is all the days of our life. God's provision for you and I is always loving. It's always wise. It's always beneficial to us, whether we realize it or not. It's always timely. May not be in our time, but it is always timely. God's provision is always abundant. It's always more than what we even need. And many times, of course, it is miraculous. David states his assurance of God's provision in the very opening verse, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I shall not want is, again, his declaration that he is absolutely certain that God will provide for him. There is God's provision of sustenance. We find in the green pastures there we find nourishment, and God provides us nourishment. Green pastures also speak of refreshment. God provides us nourishment. He provides us refreshment for the spiritual health that we need. We read in Isaiah 40 in verse 11, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd." And again, he does this in the green pastures. In Ezekiel 34 and verse 14, he says, "I will feed them in a good pasture." Doesn't feed us in pastures that are detrimental to us, but a good pasture. "Upon the high mountains of Israel shall fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat or plentiful pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel." A green pasture, a fat pasture, a plentiful pasture. So every day, God the shepherd provides his people with green pastures. Whatever a day holds, whatever a day brings about, there are green pastures. God knows where they are. God leads his people to those pastures. And God causes us to lie down. So every day, he provides. There is that which is precious. There is that which will strengthen us and comfort us, suffice us, and prepare us for whatever is going on and whatever is going to happen. The green pastures, again, are God's provision for us. They're meant to be a help to us. They're meant to be an encouragement to us. But another thing we see here, he maketh me to lie down. To lie down. Again, we find nourishment in the green pastures, feeding, but there's rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So we have God's provision of rest. God provides his people with rest. The world is restless. The world is all, ever since the fall. The world has been restless. The world is very unsettled. It's marked by weariness. Physical weariness, mental weariness, emotional weariness, spiritual weariness. And anything else you want to add? The world, of course, is very hurried, gets more so every day. It's very frantic, very stress-filled. But there is a rest. There is a rest, of course, in eternity. But there is also a rest for the people of God here. And we find that rest in the green pastures. So what is this rest? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What is this rest? We see it all through the Word of God. And it speaks of a particular kind, particular type of rest. It's not just laying down and going to sleep kind of rest. It's a very special rest. It's a rest that only God can give. And it's sad because many of God's people never seem to enjoy or experience this rest. Your eyes have to be on the shepherd. He leads us to the green pastures. He causes us to lie down in the green pastures. You do not find this rest avoiding the green pastures. Green pastures are His Word and many, many other things. But you don't find this rest away from the green pastures. You find it in the green pastures. So we have to spend time in the green pastures if we're going to experience this rest. It is a rest of release, of release. We have sinful flesh within us. We get restless. We have many burdens. We have many cares, many concerns. We can get weary, and we can hold on to a lot of things. But there is a rest of release. And again, it's found when the shepherd makes us to lie down in green pastures. Jesus spoke of this in John 14, in verse 1. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. To be troubled is for the heart to be unsettled. It's for the heart to be overloaded with the cares and the concerns of life. It's the heart being obstructed by the things of life, distracted by the things of life. A troubled heart, you think of the troubled sea, is an agitated heart. And many people, of course, the world lives with this kind of heart, a troubled heart. The apostles at this moment were experiencing a troubled heart. And Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." But there is rest. In other words, there is a release. Do our hearts become unsettled? Yes, they do. But there is a release from an unsettled heart. Do our hearts become overloaded? Yes, they do. But again, there's a release from that. Our hearts become obstructed with many things. Our hearts become distracted. Our hearts become agitated. And this rest that we're talking about is a release from these things. And again, we've all experienced troubled hearts. You can't get through that. We're human beings. You can't get through this life without experiencing troubled hearts. We should not stay in that condition because there is release. And we know what it feels like to have your heart unsettled and then all of a sudden it just released. I mean, it's like getting new life. And we know that, we all know that from experience. When the heart is agitated, and all of a sudden, and again, circumstances don't have to change. God just gives a release. That's the mistake that most people make. They think, well, when this trial is over, then I can rest. Or when this trial is over, then I can become settled again and less agitated. You don't have to wait till the trial's over. There is rest. There is release in the very midst of the trial. And this is the rest that we experience in the green pasture. So it's a rest of release. It's also a rest that involves assurance and confidence in the Lord. Notice in Psalm 37, and again we find this in the green pastures. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. It's the opposite of fret not thyself. This rest is the opposite of fretting. Rest in the Lord. This is an inward quiet. It's the opposite of having our hearts troubled. The heart becomes quiet. It's an inward composure. It's to be inwardly composed. You've seen people who are not composed in their actions, and they will say something like, "Well, I've just got to compose myself here." Well, that doesn't work. You need a composure of heart. God can do that. That's the rest that we're speaking of. It's a peace. And it all comes from knowing that all is well. Now, you and I know that theologically. We know theologically that all is well, that God has a plan, God's working His plan. We know that theologically, and that's a good thing to know. But sometimes we forget it. When our hearts become troubled, we are in a state of forgetfulness that all is well. But God has a way of reassuring us. God has a way of reminding us that all is well. And that is this rest in the Lord. It is to be fixed in the Lord. It's to be settled and secure in the Lord. Everything can be falling apart all around us. But this is a rest that causes us to be settled and secure because we can see the shepherd and we know that the shepherd is looking after us. This rest in the Lord is to be spiritually established. Spiritually established. Again, a person can be established theologically. And it's good. You ought to be established theologically. But realize this. You can be established theologically and not be spiritually established. Two different things. To be spiritually, because there's a lot of people that are theologically established, but their heart's always troubled. Because they're not spiritually established. They don't experience this rest. So it's rest in the Lord. It's not rest when the circumstances change, but it's rest in the Lord no matter what the circumstances are. And the Lord is one of those green pastures. It is also a rest, and this goes right along with rest in the Lord. It is a rest that involves acquaintance with the Lord. Notice in Job chapter 22, Job chapter 22, And verse 21. This is Eliphaz speaking. Acquaint now thyself with him. That's good advice. That's always good advice. The problem is, Job was more acquainted with God than any of his three friends were. But acquaint now thyself with him, and then notice the result, and be at peace. And be at peace, which is rest. But it comes through an acquaintance with the Lord. That is, get to know the Lord better. When our hearts are troubled, and they will be, acquaint yourself with the Lord. Acquaint yourself with the Lord. Here's what a lot of people do. Hearts are troubled. They call somebody who only troubles their heart more. And really kind of encourages them to be of troubled heart. Rather than, I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to people or call people, but first acquaint yourself with the Lord. That'll work better than anybody you call, I guarantee it. Acquaint yourself with the Lord. Move closer to God. Know Him more. And there's a peace. And it's amazing how, and we all know this, it's amazing how quickly that peace can just come upon us. Just by acquainting the circumstances haven't changed, they may have gotten worse. But acquaint thyself with the Lord and be at peace. Along with that, notice Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind, okay, the mind has a lot to do with whether or not our heart is troubled or whether our heart is composed and is at rest. The mind sometimes becomes our worst enemy. We all know how the mind can work. It works against us many times. But thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And what does it mean to have our mind stayed on him? Because he trusteth in thee. So there is a rest. This goes along with acquainting ourselves with God by meditating. To have the mind stayed upon something is the mind to be focused. And many times, that's what we need. We need the mind to be focused. Many times our minds are focused, but focused on the wrong things. Our minds focused upon God. Meditating upon God. A green pasture, again, your world can be falling apart. You're agitated, you're unsettled, and you go into the green pasture and you begin to just meditate upon the Lord, and you feed upon that, you feed upon the Lord, and the result is He causes us to lie down, meditating upon the Lord. So there's a rest that involves acquaintance with God, that involves meditation upon the Lord. There is also a rest of the peace of God in the heart. Again, as saved individuals, we've said this many times, we all have peace with God. There's nothing that can change that. But not all have the peace of God. Two different things: peace with God, peace of God. People can have peace with God and still be troubled. The apostles and John 14, good example. They had peace with God, but their hearts were troubled. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So what is the peace of God? What is that? It sounds good, peace of God. But what is it? Well, the Bible tells us, John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to those whose hearts are troubled. In verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you." Well, what kind of peace? My peace. My peace. I give unto you. The peace of God is the peace of Jesus Christ. He says, I give it unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And then he says again, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of Jesus Christ. You follow Jesus Christ through the Gospels, and you see the peace of Jesus Christ. He was always spiritually stable, settled. Never did he lose his composure. He had peace. It is the very peace that Jesus Christ enjoyed while on earth. That's the peace of God. And the Bible tells us that we can have that. We can have the very peace that Jesus Christ enjoyed on earth. And again, that peace is found in the green pastures. We'll pick up from there next week. But again, the green pasture speaks of God's provision of rest. And there is rest for the child of God on this earth. And it is a God-provided rest. It comes from the shepherd. You don't find it anywhere else. He's the giver of this rest. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you that we can say today that the Lord is our shepherd. We thank you, Lord, that you've been and will continue to be a faithful shepherd to each one of us. And Lord, we just pray that you would cause us to keep our eyes upon thee, cause us, Lord, to follow thee wherever it is that you lead, cause us, Lord, to trust you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for Psalm 23. We pray, Lord, that it would be our life, cause us to live in this psalm. We pray now that you would help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth. Be with those that are lost, Lord, that you speak to their hearts, save their souls this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.